Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hi there, and welcome to the latest episode of the podcast. This week, we are talking about events, and more specifically, how to negotiate with a venue in order to have a good event. As we all know, there are great events, mediocre events, and outright bad events. Fire Festival, anyone? So getting your events into the great events category takes a lot of work and a lot of luck, frankly. But there are ways that you can increase your chances of having it all work together nicely and leaving your attendees with a desire to come to more of your events. This is part one of a two-part series that teaches you how to secure a venue at the best rate and keep your event from running into the red while doing it. I'm Kim Stewart.
And I'm Hazel. Episode of our podcast.
So, welcome back to our returning listeners and a warm welcome to new listeners. If you are new to us, we produce a podcast every other week and we deal with a variety of topics, mostly about marketing and how to be successful in marketing, but we occasionally wander off the beaten path with some super fun episodes that aren't really related to marketing but are designed to give your brain a break. So, just sit back and enjoy.
That's right. Our main goal is to produce episodes that are fun to listen to, leave you with a nugget of either knowledge or happiness, and send you off to fight the dragons in the rest of your day with a sharp sword.
That really is a good way to put it.
So today we are talking about what makes a great event, and while it's true that sometimes the definition of greatness as it applies to events can be subjective, it is also true that the truly bad events are universally loathed and attendees often don't want to come back and won't pay to come to another event hosted by the same group.
Yep, and you do not want that to be you if you are the event host. That is for sure.
So let's get started, and I think maybe we want to kick off the episode by talking loosely through the points that make the average event. Then we can dive into ideas that will help your event to stand out in all the right ways.
Awesome. So let's jump in here. At number one, at least in my mind, the key to a good event is having a great venue. If you find a good spot that offers up exactly what you need in order to present your conference, trade show, art event, whatever, to your target audience, then I think you're halfway to winning the battle.
Yes, we've all been to events where the venue was too small, too large, too loud, too remote, and those events are too bad. Doomed from the start, really. But choosing a location for your event is one of the most difficult parts of getting it to put together.
Right. So unless you have big bucks behind you or a proven track record, sometimes it's hard to find a location that both wants you and wants to work with you.
A lot of novice event planners also don't realize that there's a standard setups for events, and they are often taken advantage of by a venue when the venue manager or salesperson realizes that they're dealing with a new place.
That's right. A good venue will lay out their process and what they have to offer up front. They'll also let you know what they're looking for as far as hospitality and food and beverage guarantees. Now, this is the thing. If you don't know this, you're going to want to listen really closely to this entire episode and to part two, because these numbers are going to be very important to your bottom line.
It's very common for the venue to comp the event organizer on things like ballroom or conference room rental space. Unless you're going to a very popular location, let's say San Francisco, for instance, then you're going to have some negotiating room with the venue on out-of-pocket costs and what commitments you need to make the venue in order to reduce your expenditures based on performance by your attendees.
Right. So the way this works is pretty simple. Let's say that you think you're going to have 200 attendees and your venue is a hotel. You're going to be using a ballroom,
two conference rooms and somewhere to have food and beverage, like maybe it's a banquet room or whatever, over the course of a two-day conference.
And then to figure out what percentage of your attendees are coming from out of town or will want to stay at the hotel, and that's the number of rooms you think that you will need. You also want to calculate how much food and beverage you're going to have included and how much is it going to be in la carte payments from attendees.
Right. So, yeah, a la carte payments for attendees, yeah. We're going to talk a lot about that.
Okay.
So once you have these figures laid out, you're ready to start negotiating with your venue for your base commitment to them and what is going to be charged on a sliding scale. Now, you're going to have to guarantee a certain amount of income to the venue in order to be able to negotiate pricing. So whatever your initial estimate of budget is, knock 25% off of it as some insurance for you.
Right. The last thing you want to do is come up with additional money out of your own pocket. If you don't get the attendees that you expect, that's a real letdown and it can totally screw up your budgeting process.
Right. So your hotel or conference room space is going to give you a standard rate list on renting, ballrooms, conference rooms, banquet rooms, meeting rooms. They're also likely to present you with a variety of menus at different prices for food and beverage. And you're going to make some choices based on the level of service that you want to provide for your attendees as well.
So just remember that everything should be negotiable with a good venue. They are in the business of making money by renting out their space, but that's likely not their primary profit center. You can look at things like how many drinks will they serve at the bar, how much room service there is if it's a hotel, and what kind of incidental profit they are going to make from having your attendees in their space.
Right, and this is where it gets tricky. Let's say that you come up with a package that is going to cost $10,000 on the face of it. So the venue is going to want a deposit from you to reserve the space. And that's going to be generally, let's say it's at least 50% of the estimated cost for the basics. So you're going to have to give them $5,000 up front to hold the space and have everything ready.
You'll want to negotiate with them based on the amount of extras that you think your attendees will be paying for on premise. Say your figure that's 100% of your attendees are going to be booking hotel rooms. This is, of course, easier to manage when you're having an event at a more remote location like a resort or an island where there are very few attendees are live. Or actually, sorry, where they live.
We're going to have dead attendees? All
yeah,
right. It's always a good way to know, if you know, depending on your event location, whether or not you're going to get a big booking rate from your attendees. Now, this is a great way to have a conference, but you had better make sure that if you expect 200 people to show up, that you're going to get at least 180 of them there, or you're going to be out of pocket a lot of money on the whole thing. Right, so it's very hard to make money producing events and shows. Unless you have a big following and can get a ton of people to show up, or the people who do come are going to spend a lot of money to be there. So your initial negotiating point is that you'll have 150 rooms booked. I mean, let's face it, it's likely that you're going to have people splitting rooms, sharing rooms, and you're going to have perhaps 200 plates of food for each beverage and food event. So your cost per person for your incidentals is going to be considerably less when you can guarantee a hotel that they'll be serving 200 people as opposed to 100 people.
And it's gotten very hard to manage food and beverage for events these days. Again, if you're on an island or at a remote resort, then not so much. But if there are other options, you often find attendees removing themselves from the event to have their own private functions.
Right. And, you know, that's bound to happen in almost any case. And, you know, I wouldn't get upset about it because unless you're in a relatively new industry or your attendees haven't met each other and don't know each other from other things, these are just things that you need to think about when you're coming up with your initial projections and getting ready to sit down with your venue to talk budget.
And if you're staying in the hotel where you are holding your event, you should always be getting them to comp your room and perhaps a few more, but that's going to depend on the number of attendees and how many people will be booking rooms. If you are paying speakers or have some rock star keynote folks, they are going to be looking at you to comp their lodgings and most of their accommodations, whether or not they are getting paid.
Yeah, you know, that's just how it works, especially when you're dealing with top-notch speakers who are doing multiple events every year and have been in the circuit, or they know the situation where they're offered a lot of freebies for attending your event.
Well, it's pretty cheesy to expect your speakers to buy their way into your conference in order to speak, unless you are doing it on a sponsor my event and get a spot at the microphone type of thing. Don't get me wrong, there are plenty of conferences that do that. Some of them require you to be a sponsor in order to speak or present or even get invitations to certain upscale dinners or lunches, breakfasts, whatever.
Right, and you have to factor all of this into your budget from the beginning.
So let's get back to our imaginary event for the moment. You've got a $10,000 budget, and you need to maximize what you're getting from the venue at every turn.
Right. So you can likely start with things like you're going to be providing water, coffee, tea, maybe sodas for the attendees at your event all day long. If you can't get the hotel to agree to provide that for free, you should at least be able to get them to do that in the morning. I mean, keep in mind, they're going to want to charge you for everything. So it's up to you to actually do the negotiations. You know, if the venue also has a pay-to-play coffee station or they have all-day food for purchase available somewhere, then they're going to push you to minimize the amount of free stuff that you provide on your show floor or in your conference rooms. It's just the nature of the beast, and you have to be willing to put your foot down and tell them what it's going to take to get you to sign on with them.
And that brings up an interesting point. If you have the option of putting your event in more than one venue in a location, say there are two resorts that are close to each other, you can certainly play one against the other to get the contract signed on more favorable terms.
That's right. Don't be afraid to tell a venue that you're looking at multiple options. And, you know, at that point, you're forcing their hand into offering you concessions to book with them.
Exactly. I mean, the one thing about renting space is that once the day or night has passed, it's impossible for them to recoup lost revenue that they didn't get because you choose to hold your event somewhere else. These guys all know this, and they are always going to look at whether or not it's a good idea for them to take less upfront in order to guarantee that they have people on premise, or if want to gamble, or they'll end up with someone else who will book something at the same time that you would have.
Right. So you're going to have some homework to do before the second part of this series. If you are looking into an event, or if you're contemplating how you might go about hosting an event, your homework assignment is going to be to get together an initial projection for this event.
Whether it's imaginary or real, you'll need to decide a few things. So here's the list. First, how many people do you expect? You're going to need to come up with a low figure, a high figure, and a reasonable expectation somewhere in the middle. You need all three of these figures so that you can accurately project and negotiate with the venue. It's not unheard of to get such a favorable reception to your show's initial outreach that you are overbooked, and you'll need to decide how you're going to handle it if that happens.
Right. Are you going to be holding your event in a place that offers you the option to expand attendance? Or will you be hard capped at a specific number of people? This is going to be a very critical number in deciding how you're going to price your event and how you're going to pay for it, especially if you're going to rely on sponsors to fund it or if you're only going to use the cost of attendee sign-up fees to pay for this.
The next part of your homework is to determine what kind of programming you're going to have at your event. Will there be speakers, booths? Is it a meet and greet event? What sort of meals will you have looking to offer as part of the attendee fee? And what kind of a la carte services do you think attendees are going to want?
Exactly. If you're planning an event that has late night parties on the agenda, you're likely to want to be in a venue that has room service or some kind of late night, early morning food service available for purchase, since people often come back from parties ready to eat before they go to bed.
And you should also think about auxiliary events, if you're going to go that route at all. Will there be sightseeing tours, fun pool afternoons, that kind of thing. And are you planning to have the entire group stay together, or will you do breakouts with smaller groups of people that offer the opportunity to spend more one-on-one time mixing and mingling?
Right, and let's not forget the weather. If you plan to hold an event in, say, New York City in January, then you had better be prepared for a portion of your intended attendees to either miss the show or arrive late because of weather problems, whether they were driving or whether they're flying. It's really a situation no matter where you're going to host your event if it happens to be in the winter, since it's likely that any given percentage of your attendees may end up with those weather problems, you know, unless you were doing specifically a West Coast event that didn't have anybody coming from the Midwest or the Northeast, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Get all the initial planning on paper. Just make a list. It doesn't need to be exact because we're going to talk to you through getting it organized and ready to present to venues for competitive bidding in the next episode.
Right. So with that, we're going to leave you now. Homework assignment in hand. In part two, we'll be talking through the list of what you should have in front of you, perhaps bringing up some points that you didn't put into your initial estimates, and going through the best way to pad your numbers to keep from growing broke paying for things if you have less than stellar attendance.
So that's it for this episode. Stay tuned and make sure do your homework.
Right. And the last thing I will say, if you're trying to get a hold of us, maybe you want to talk more about event planning or using mobile for event planning, there is a contact form on the podcast website, dominoresearch.com. We also, on our mobilewalletmarketer.com platform, have plenty of contact information on there. So if you need to talk to us before the next episode, by all means, get to it.